I just want to continue that vein that Amanda brought about a loving Heavenly Father. Sean was just telling me he was, last year sometime, they were walking next to the pool, and his son slipped into the pool. And he grabbed him, and he pulled him out of the pool, and he said his son's got a high EQ, and he said, "Dad, thanks for saving me." And I want to tell you, that's such a key thing for all of us. Our Father loves us. And he, you know, salvation is not just to be born again. Salvation is a package that continues right through life. And God wants to reveal that to us. And he wants to bring us his saving grace to us continually. And I want to ask you that, to please do that, to reach out to God and allow your Heavenly Father to reveal his salvation to you. It's not just an existence that we have. We have a relationship with God, and he wants to bless us. And also out of the prayer meeting this morning from Psalm 107, verse 20, this is God speaking. "He sent forth his word and healed them, and he rescued them from the grave." God's answer to you is his word. And the word we understand from John chapter 1 is Christ. And he sends his word to you. And we understand from the scriptures that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So God has sent Christ to you, and through Christ has healed you and rescued you from the grave, which is death, eternal damnation. God has done that for you. So before I preach, will you just wave at your friends around you? I know the social distancing, and we want to keep the protocol, but give a smile when you do that too. That'll be good. And if you don't know the person next to you, maybe just say hi and tell them your name. That'll be fantastic. Eh? Really good to have everyone here today. Amen. I'm going to pray, and thanks, Brad has prayed, but I also like to pray to before we start. Father, thank you for your word, and today we come under the word of God, and we ask, Lord, that you would bring life and light through your word, that not only will our hearts be changed and our minds be renewed, but, Lord, you bring healing to our bodies as you release your word over us today. And I pray for those that are sick amongst us, Lord. There are some of us that are really battling at this time. Some have even been in hospital. And we ask, Lord, send your word out. And we claim that word over them. By your stripes, they were healed. And we declare whatever ailment or sickness and disease that is operating in their lives, we just thank you, Lord, for breaking that authority and imparting your life. As you say in Romans 8, Lord, you bring your life to our mortal bodies. And we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this week's been a very interesting week. Have you noticed what's been going on in the news and all the turmoil in America and all that's happening there? But I wanted to say to you, that is a nation under God, and God is doing something wonderful there, but we fix our eyes on our Lord. We don't get ourselves caught up in politics and all those things, even though those things are important. It's the mechanisms of the world. But we have a God that's in control, and he is faithful from generation to generation, and he hasn't given up or abdicated his responsibility. And I want to tell you, your king is secure. You have voted for him, you have put your hand up for him, you've confessed him as Lord, and he is Lord. And he will never take away from that what who he is. So rejoice in him. He is almighty, he is all-powerful, he's our God. Amen. Today I want to, the topic of I want to preach about is what it means to be sent by Jesus. And you realize what God has declared over us in the season that we find ourselves. God has, we've been called church on the way, but the reality God is telling us we need to be church on the go. And this is a God stirring up our hearts through his word as what he's done in himself and what he's doing in our lives and taking us into a depth of what he wants us to do. And I think what Mel's word was today, where God is hovering us with a cloud of his glory, and he wants to impart his fire to us. And we've got to be receptive to that. And I think as the word comes and you allow God to do his work in you, you'll see a release in your life and the things that we've got to do. And I'm going to share some of those things with us today. But firstly, in an introduction, is the Father sent our Lord Jesus to fulfill his plans and purposes. You know, Jesus was in the throne of grace from time beginning, before time even existed. And God the Father came up with us, dear, this is my creation I want to save. And the Lord Jesus put his hand up and said, I will go. And it says that in the scriptures, Jesus was sent by our Father to go and fulfill the purposes of God. And that purpose that Jesus went, he went and fulfilled on the cross. It was completed, the finished work of the cross. He gained salvation for mankind, but then he went on and he ascended into heaven and on the right hand of our Father, where he is our great high priest, he is our mediator, but he is also Lord. He rules and reigns over his church. That's where he is. Now we get to the place that Jesus was sent, and then he sends us. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't say, no, no, this was only for me. I'm sending you. And we know the great commission that God has actually given us to go make disciples of all men. But in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, this is part of the great commission, is, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, God has given us a task, and we know that task, and I really want to encourage you today in the outworking of that. And as this task is to bring people to a place to obey the Lord in his commands that he's given us through the scriptures, I want to encourage you that we need a lot of wisdom when we do this. We can't be Bible bashers, but we need to do it with love and we need to do it with grace. But also we got to be preaching the right gospel. And unfortunately in the world today, there's a lot of wrong things that are going out there. And even in the life of the church, people are being taught rules and regulations. Now, there are parameters that we need to operate within. In any family, if you don't have the parameters working, that you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you eat breakfast, those type of things that are good, those things are wrong. But when it becomes rules and regulations that restrict you in your outworking of your life, we call that religion or we call that legalism. And that's not what God has for us. God wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to have a relationship with one another. And that's absolutely key, and that's what Christianity is about. When Christ comes to live in us, it's about a relationship. So this aspect where God wants a relationship, wants to use us and work through us. So I want to just share some pertinent points in respect of this, what it means to be sent by Jesus. I just know that I won't cover everything, because the Bible is just so full of this about what God wants us to do in Christ. So, but I want to encourage you with some 5 points today, and I'd like you to first go to the text, and the text is in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, and then also from 13 to 20, where Jesus explains this parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, and I'll read it to you. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. So this was a parable, and the people didn't always necessarily understand what he was saying. They said, well, that's a natural thing of life. But then Jesus comes in verse 13, or came, not in verse 13, he came and he explained to his disciples. Then Jesus said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Hear that. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word and making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So what is Jesus trying to get through this parable is that as we go with the word of God and to present the word of God, not everyone is going to produce what you think they're going to produce. We do not know where hearts are, and we have a role as we've been called by the Lord to sow the word. The results of that are really up to God and the individual. God knows where everyone's heart is, and I sometimes don't even know where my heart is, but I just know that as we keep our hearts tender and humble before God, God can work powerfully in our lives. But people are not all in the same place, and we see here we have an enemy out there, that when we sow the word, the devil comes to steal the word of God. And I want to tell you that in your quiet times, in times of devotion with God, and even here today, I want to suggest even at times you might leave this place and you come out and you can't even remember what was said. The enemy has come and stolen the word of God from you. And we mustn't allow that. We mustn't allow it. You need to stand up against that and resist that. And then the Bible comes and says when rocky places come, they receive the word, but it doesn't find root. Persecution comes and they quickly fall away. Suffering and persecution is part of life, and some people don't know how to handle, don't have a coping mechanism with that, and we've got to push through those things to see that it will get to good soil. Then others, the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth come and choke up the word of God and be making it unfruitful. But God wants it to be sown in good soil. So I want to say, when we sow the word, you know, it's not like today where we do farming. Farming is very scientific and mechanized today. They plow up the field, they prepare it, they put fertilizer on it, and when they sow the seed, they sow it carefully and it's planted, and they generally have a very good crop, and the yields, depending upon the rains and that, is you have good yields. But in those days, I don't even think they dug up the soil. They might have hoed it to take some of the weeds out and stuff like that. And the farmers went and they took a bag and they scattered the seed. You throw the seed. You don't plant one seed by seed. And it landed where it landed. And then you trusted for it to come. So that you're not like you look at the fields now that are just beautiful and rows of fruitfulness. There it was scattered. Some came up, some were down, and then there were places that you got. So the yields weren't great. But God is saying it's the same with us. We sow on the field, anyone and everyone. We don't choose where we sow. We scatter God's word. And I'm telling you now, whoever God puts across your path, that's where we need to be sowing the word of God. So firstly, out of that, as the farmer sows the word, what has Jesus given us? Firstly, he says, Jesus gives us the word of God to preach. Now, it's not just the preacher that preaches. We, every one of us, I want to encourage you, preaches the word of God. In Romans 10, verse 14 to 15, it says, how can they call upon the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I come to tell you today, you've been sent to preach the good news. Every single one of us has been sent to preach the news. Even from the youngsters, they also sent to preach the word of God. In Romans 10, verse 16, 17 says, this is not always accepted. The Israelites didn't accept the good news, for Isaiah said, the Lord has, who has believed our message? But it says in verse 17, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And I want you to hear that clearly, the word of Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. Please do not preach another gospel that's out there to pander to man's needs. We preach Christ and his fullness. And this is going to, when we preach Christ, it counts, it costs your life. You've got to give up everything to follow him, because he gave up everything for you. And when we preach something else, when we preach a gospel that God will meet all your needs, I believe God wants to meet our needs. But when we preach a gospel that's off what the truth is, we lead people astray, and we've got to present Christ. So that's why the easiest and the best, preach Jesus. And one of the simplest things, if you're not understanding the depth of what it actually means, just tell people that Jesus loves them. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus loves you. Now, I don't know when last you told someone Jesus loves you, but I know when I take the opportunity, and we're in the car parks and we've got the car guards, and I take an opportunity when I give them some money to say thank you, I make a deposit. I tell them Jesus loves you. And you know, so many times those faces just brighten up. And they say, yo, that's wonderful. Now and again, you get the don't know, then we can get to a place and we can pray for them and trust God for them to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But the gospel in a nutshell is tell people that Jesus loves them. And you don't have to be profound in that. Those words are profound itself out of the love of God. You know, I don't want to get into the thing, but there was a Hindu man in Burundi when he visited the one time, and he was serving his gods and make sacrifices to his gods. And I apologize if I told the story before, but I think it's pertinent. And this man was sacrificing his life to these Hindu gods, giving money and fruit and all those things and bowing down to them and asking them to bless him. And we know behind that there's demons behind that. But the reality, some Christian lady came and said to him, Jesus loves you. And he said in his Indian accent, I'm confused. None of my gods have ever, ever, ever told me that they love me. Who is this Jesus? This God said he loves me. I must go and find this God. And there was a journey that he went, and he went to different churches. And the sad thing about it, some of the churches weren't preaching Christ. They were preaching the wrong gospel. And only later he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. But that message is so important. Jesus loves you. Now tell that to your friends, tell that to your families. Those of you around, you'll be surprised. God will take those words. When people are in a desperate situation, they will turn to the Lord because they know that he loves them. Then secondly, we are given the Holy Spirit to help us. We cannot do this by ourselves. You know, God never sent us to go and say, now you've got all the energy and all the knowledge and understanding. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And John chapter 14 tells us, where Jesus was telling his disciples from 15 to 18, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus comes back in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is being given to us as we receive him on the day of when we get born again. He comes to live inside of us, and we receive his power when we ask him, also when the Lord baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. But I just want to go to the Amplified version when it comes to the word counselor. Well, this, the Amplified says comforter, but the Greek that is opened up there, it means that he's counselor, he's helper, he's intercessor, he's advocate, he's strengthener, he's standby. And I really want to encourage you to build on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to work with you and lead you, and that's why it's good to read the book of Acts, because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, how they learn to work with God, the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be able to do that because we're not meant to do it alone. God wants to do it through us and by his Holy Spirit. So if there's something that you can really work on to actually, if you want to get bolder and be doing this of going out and preaching the gospel, work together with God, the Holy Spirit, because he is incredible. He is a wonderful God. He loves men. And he wants to work through us. And if you would work with him, build your friendship with him, build your love for him, and allow him to work through you to exalt Christ. And I assure you, you will find adventure in your life that you've never experienced before. So many of us are so scared to submit totally to the Holy Spirit because we think he's going to lead us astray and bring us into the wrong way and take us out of our comfort zone. Oh, yes, he will take you out of your comfort zone. He will. He will, because he's about the king's business. And I want to encourage you to work with God, the Holy Spirit. And then there's this, thirdly, there's the command. This is my command, love each other. And in John chapter 15, the Lord goes from verse 15 to 17, tells us that he's our friends, that he's chosen us and appointed us to bear fruit. But then he says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Then he says, this is my command. My command is love each other. Now, that's not only for the church, but that's for everyone out there. And we've got to be out there showing the love of God. And it's an act of kindness. It's bringing an encouraging word. It's when people are down to come alongside them. When people are in this time where people are destitute, to bring that little parcel of food or to spur them on in walking with God, to spur one another here. You know, this is why it's been so important for us to get together again because we've been isolated in our homes, and yes, we've been receiving the Word of God, but this thing of our interaction with one another to fellowship, and that's where we can love one another. And you come back out of a time like this, you become refreshed, and you can go into the week and knowing that you've not only met with God, but you've met with one another, and there's something when we come to the house of God, where God actually does a miracle. You know, I may be getting off the point here. If you're in a tough place and you're going through difficulty, don't stay away from the gathering of the saints. Come. I'm telling you, after years and years of experience, if you want to meet with God, you might even not be able to say a prayer to God to help you, but come and be in the house of God where God's people are meeting. God will meet you. God will meet you because he loves you. And no matter what, sometimes people don't even have to pray for you. You'll be sitting there and God will minister to you and he will reveal himself to you. So this aspect, God loves us, but as we found out that God wants us to love others. Now I'm going to say to you, you all can. Don't tell me you can't love, because the love of God has been put in your hearts and you can love. I know there are wicked people out there that can't love. All they do is hatred and evil, but you can, because you've been changed, because the love of God is in your heart and you can open your mouth and you can extend the love of God. You know, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 20 to 23, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the first one is, and I'm telling you now, when God the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures, he didn't get this wrong. The first fruit is love, agape, we understand from the Greek. And you can love every single one of you in your different personality and the different circumstances you find yourself. You might find difficult people in your lives. They're the best people to love. Do you know that? Those ones, those tough nuts that don't want to know anything, they're the easiest to reach. The indifferent ones are a bit more difficult, but continue to show the love of God. And then fourthly, and this is maybe a bigger point, is exercising Christ's authority. Firstly, out of that, we're given the power and authority from our Lord. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, the Lord was teaching his disciples, as we're teaching you today, to go out and to preach the gospel. And here he brings these 12 disciples together, and he encourages them, and he says this to them from verse 1 in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic, whatever the house you enter, stay there until you leave the town. If people do not welcome you, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So these disciples heard what the Lord said. Now I want you to hear this verse 1 again. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. This is part of the gospel. As we preached last week, to set the captives free. There are people out there that will never be free. We send them off to mental institutions. We send them off to psychiatrists. And sometimes we do need those doctors to help us with the medication. But in a lot of the times, these people need deliverance. And it's not a special ministry. It's for every single one of us, is to cast out demons of people. Every one of us. And this is why the Lord said, I've given you power and authority. Now, when Christ comes to me and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, you receive power. Now, don't ever doubt that. You have power. The issue of authority is a different thing you've got to grow into. You know, in the army, when I went through officer's course and landed up becoming a lieutenant, and then they salute not the person, but they salute the rank. There's an authority. And when you first get this rank, you don't know what it means, and the guys sometimes just go overboard and they start doing things which is not helpful. But when we come to Christ, this authority is not a dictatorship and it's not something to control people. It's an authority that's given by God to do the purposes of God. But I want to say to you now, every one of you has been given authority in the Lord. The degree that you exercise is another thing. You've got to grow in your authority. There are some battles you've got to win, and it comes through using your authority in Christ. And you don't really hear this message much, is that you've got to learn to use the name of Jesus with authority. Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. We've got to use the power of the blood of Jesus in Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their life so much as to shrink from it. I want to say to you, grow in the exercise of your authority. Now, you might come across someone and you know there's a lot of things God gives you wisdom and they're going through difficulties and that. And yes, you say you'll pray for them, but do you pray for them? I want to say sometimes it's better to pray there and then. And this is where you need God, the Holy Spirit, because he knows what's actually happening in that. And then be led by the Spirit. Be bold in doing those things. and declare this outworking of the power that you have and the authority. Here it says, the disciples went out, preached the gospel, and healed the people. So obviously they said, okay, we're going to heal the people. And they saw the people, and they prayed for them. I want to tell you, God wants to astound you. Is that through your very words, not you, but him through you, he wants through his name and the power of his blood to set people free and to cure them. You know, for me, when you see people delivered and set free, it's a time to rejoice. Because I can't do it. Only God can do it. Medication can do some of it, but cannot set them free. And here we have this authority, and I really encourage you, use the power that God's given you and the authority under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll never go wrong. There's people that have abused it. We don't want to abuse the authority and the power that God's given us. So that's why we work together with God, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, under exercising Christ's authority, is pull down strongholds and cast down arguments and every high thing. Now, this scripture you know very well, but we use it for ourselves, but I want to say it's for others. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war again according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And here we find we've got to apply this in our own lives, the authority with these strongholds and these arguments and these pretensions, these high things that exalt us against them, we've got to bring down into captivity, into obedience to Christ. But what about the people you are meeting? They have these things in their lives. And we can facilitate that we don't have control of their lives, but we can actually exercise authority and we can set them free from these strongholds, arguments, and all these high things. And I'm telling you now, when you step out and you delve into, and you're talking to these people, what are the things that they are facing, and you do this, and you liberate them in the authority and the power that you got. Wow! Wow! It's incredible to see people set free. You see, you're bringing them to a place out of captivity to obedience to Christ. And I want to encourage you, please do that. When the people when you meet, that's not all face value, that they say everything's okay and things are working out fine. No, there's some depth. When people are saved, it doesn't mean they are free. They still need to be set free. There's some aspects of sin to work out. There's aspects of the past to work out. And there are things they've given rights to the enemy. Those things need to be broken. And you and I have that responsibility to do that. So why do we do this? Fourthly, it says here, we enforce the disarmament and of what Jesus had done on the cross. In Colossians 2, verse 15, having disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. I want to just say to you, the enemy Satan, who controls men that do not know Christ, has been defeated. And we need to understand that you're dealing with a defeated enemy, but he hasn't come off the battlefield. He's still on the battlefield. Jesus has won the victory. He's taken away all his authority, but he's remained on the battlefield. And this is the battlefield where we find ourselves actually working. And I don't know from the military experience that I've had, when the battle's won, there's still a mopping up operation that's got to take place. That is sometimes the most dangerous operation because the enemy hasn't always left, and there's still pockets of strongholds all in this battlefield area, and they have to be cleared. So where there are sometimes these strongholds in these areas is the skirmishes and the ambushes that take place, but it's not everything, it's just those certain areas, and that's where God is sending us into. There are these pockets of skirmishes, and people are still holding on to what they have, and we've got to eradicate with the authority of the enemy out of that. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21 to 22, it says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks him, overpowers him, he takes away the armor which the man has trusted in and divides up the spoils. These strong men are those that are still holding on to pockets in that battlefield that we need to liberate. And you see, God has limited this outworking of the gospel to you and I. Yes, I know God can send his word and seemingly done. But he's put Christ in us for us to partner with him, to work with him, and to do his will here on earth. Now, part of that is still dealing with a defeated enemy, and we need to be doing that going forward. So lastly, what does it say here? We need to go. In Matthew 28, Jesus has sent us. He said to his to disciples there, and he has said to us, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." But in Mark chapter 16, he gets more specific. Verse 15 to 18, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized," remember, not everyone's going to believe. Some falls on different soils, "and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Sad place to be. But that's a reality. Not everyone's going to believe. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name," that's the name of Jesus, "they will drive out demons, cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up snakes in their hands. And they will. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." Other versions says they will recover. This is the mandate that our heavenly God has actually given us. It's an incredible, incredible privilege. And I want to say to you, don't miss out on this. It's not good enough just to be born again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not be doing God's purposes in your life. God never called you to vegetate and to be comfortable and to come and sit here in a pew and actually just be blessed. God wants you to go out and experience what it is to liberate other people and to preach this gospel. It's going to take boldness. I remember as a young Christian, I was studying at that time, and I knew nothing about what Christianity was. I didn't really know much about the Lord at that time, but I'd given my heart to Him. And the Lord encouraged us through a prophetic voice, and like I'm encouraging you today, to get out there. And you know what? I had to speak to myself. Not only God speaking to me, but I had to speak to myself, "Lord, what am I going to do with this message? And am I going to be obedient or not? And I'm just going to live my life, and then you bless me, and then I'm happy. Or, Lord, am I going to obey you?" And I decided, "Lord, my life doesn't belong to you anymore, because when I gave my life to you, now I live to serve you. I'm a servant of the Lord. What do you want me to do?" And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to get out there and be bold." I was bung. My legs were shaking. Now I've got to go and tell people about Jesus. No ways, no ways. I'm not going to do this. And then Lord encouraged us. Let's go and tell them that I love them. And I'm telling you, I took the first step of faith. And I've started to share the love of God. And then you eventually begin to talk to people and God gives you the words. He said, "He'll even put the words in your mouth when you talk to the people." And I started to do this and got bolder, because boldness comes by degrees. It doesn't just happen bold. You've got to open your mouth and you've got to step out. And as you start to share the love and you start to reach out to people and you see them as precious, you don't just see them as people that are going to hell. You want to set them free. You share the love of God little by little. And you know what? Then the success comes. And then there's a joy. There's a joy that the Bible talks about when you see one sinner saved. And God wants to use us to do that. A lot of us never experienced that. And I want to say to you, will you go to the grave and be able to bring someone to Christ that they can confess Jesus as Lord and Savior? It's not just for the pulpit to do that. That's the wrong message. It was never like that in the book of Acts. We have a role to do. And I want to say to you, God has put you in the exact place and it's the exact time where you live. You have neighbors, you have work colleagues, you have family. Go and minister to them. And I want to just say, maybe you don't want to do that, but I want to say you, Wednesday night, invite them to your home. You can make them a cup of coffee. You can maybe make a small meal. You can encourage them. It might start little, but please, let's be obedient to the Lord. Or go and visit people and say, "Can I just come and visit you tonight? I just want to just be with you." And I'm telling you now, as you extend your love and as we reach out with the love of God that He's given us, the opportunity to cast out demons and to heal the sick will come. That's not the imperative. The imperative is to love them and then to share Christ. And out of that, the rest of the stuff will come. So I encourage you today. God has put this in this season to go out there, to sow His word, to preach the gospel, to love one another, to exercise His power and authority, but to go and do what He's called us to do. So I want to really encourage you. Let's hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. You know, the book of Revelations, when He spoke to the churches, it always put at the end, there was a clause at the end of that scripture Let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Not what Mark is saying, what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you. May you hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So I'm going to hand over to Bradley to take us further into the meeting. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Mark. I also just want to ask, is there anybody here that hasn't given their life to the Lord or perhaps watching on YouTube? For those of you that haven't, maybe on YouTube or maybe here, would you mind saying this prayer after me? Lord, please forgive me of all my sin. Lord, I turn to you today and I open my heart to you, Lord. For Lord, you need to be the center of my life, Father. And Lord, I lay my life down for you today as a living sacrifice, Lord, so that I can live a new life in you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. You know, as Mark has encouraged us, send me, Lord. Use me, Lord. So, I'm going to ask you today, without knowing the details, without knowing when or where, let's make Isaiah 6:8 a reality in our lives. And I'm going to read that. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. So those of you that want to put your hands up today for that, would you mind coming to the front and just standing on the left here so we can pray for you? And I also want to ask those of you that might have something that you want prayed for, either you're sick or either you want healing emotionally or whatever the case might be, just come to the right hand side here so that we can also pray for you for that. Because I know there's different needs here today. I can feel that there's different needs here today. So please, those of you that want to be bold and that want to be sent, on the left so we can pray for you. Those of you that need healing, on the right.
Can I pray here for the folk here who want to go? So I just, you know, it's a place of humility. It's a place of saying, Lord, here I am. Not because who you are, but because who he is in you. And as I just ask you to maybe just put your hands out to the Lord and say, so you can see your submissiveness to him. Father, we just see your beloved here, those that have come up and stood up and said boldly, Lord, send me. Lord, I just thank you for obedience, and I thank you for hearts that are committed to this gospel of bringing your love to mankind. And Lord, I just thank you for that power and that authority that you gave to your 12 disciples. Again, I just pray for that power and authority upon your people here, Lord, to do the work that you've called us to do. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them success, that, Lord, as they open their mouths and they are led by you, Holy Spirit, that there will be a release of the kingdom of God through them, and that, Lord, your name will be glorified in and through them. But we pray, Father, that the success that you give them, that men and women will be radically come to a knowledge of you and understanding of you. People will be delivered, people will be healed from their sickness, and, Lord, there will be an outworking of your hand of grace upon them. I pray for discernment for them, Lord, to be able to discern the spirits. I pray for them to be tender and sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, that there will not be any desires of their own, but as they put their hands up to you, Lord, your guidance will lead them and guide them into all that you've called them to do. And that's what we do, Lord. We're not going to do this in our own. You said you'll be with us to the very end of the age, and I pray that for everyone here, Lord. They would know your presence, they would know your leading, and they would know what it is to obey you in all that what you've called us to do. So Lord, I send them, not only the people standing here, but everyone that's in this meeting today. I send them in the power of your name. I send them in the authority of your name. I declare the blood of Jesus over them to protect them, but also declare the blood of Jesus to release them to do the work of this ministry now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. You've got a great task ahead of you. It's not easy, but God will use you. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Brad.